Welcome to Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Let's get started. The last episode of Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob was called Dollars and Nonsense. This one is called Dollars and Cents, and that's because we're going to attempt to take a bit of one step back and then three or more steps forward. The idea is going to be to do a quick revisit of some of the thoughts from the last episode, then try to apply a bit of clarity and focus that makes them not quite so bad. So bad? For those of you that don't remember, I said that 90% of self-published authors will sell about 100 copies of their books or less. So yeah, if not bad news, it wasn't exactly filled with balloons, carousel horses, and caramel swirls. We're going to start off with two stories, or at least two examples, that should add a bit of perspective to things, a thinker or two, a pause for consideration. In the next segment, I'm going to dive back into the numbers we went over and attempt to adjust the spotlight on them in a slightly more favorable way. And from there, I want to go over something that may find you nodding in agreement, or at least nodding in acceptance of what could be, only to be drawn in by the surprise twist that will leave you looking in the mirror. To wrap it up, a segment that will try to take all of this and serve up a bit of reality for moving forward. And as an extra special ribbon of sorts, in this last part, I want to take a look at some of what happened over the extended break between this episode and the previous one, where that's setting us up for the next couple of episodes, and how things are going to begin moving from here. Are you ready? My parents have never bought one of my books. True. To my knowledge, my mother and father have never purchased a single copy of one of my books. I've written 15 books. They're in at least one of them as travel participants. Mention them in dedications. My parents have never bought one of my books. When I share this in writing presentations, I set it up as a joke, and I do offer it with zero intention of embarrassing my parents. The fun reality is simple. They don't need to buy my books because I give them copies of my books. Plus, I think I'd feel kind of funny about it if they did buy the books. Still, it is true. Not one book purchased. And that points to a larger issue. If you blindly make assumptions about the folks that are going to buy your books, you have a lot of surprises waiting for you. Your parents, your brothers and sisters, your husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends, your best friends of uncountable decades. None of them are absolutes when it comes to buying your books. Heck, none of them are absolutes for comments and likes and shares on social media posts, and they can do that for free. All of which is to say, your plans and actions, especially when it comes to marketing and public relations and sales, need to be better than anticipation and hope. Second story. How many states of the United States does the average American visit in a lifetime? The answer is 12. It varies a bit. Some say 12. Some get cute and offer up 12 and a half. A few try to say as many as 17. But yeah, 12. Now consider, whether 10 or 12 or 17, it still means the average American struggles to visit between 25 and 33% of the U.S. states. Do some people have advantages others do not? I would guess that the average person born and raised in New England will visit all six New England states before they're a teenager. Flip that over, and the average person born and raised in Alaska might have troubles visiting a second city, never mind another U.S. state. The thought here is that when I say some of the numbers at worst lie to us and at best mislead us, but we still need to trust them in our understanding of things when it comes to writing and publishing, this U.S. states and living in Alaska thing is sort of what I want you to have in mind. Kind of a swirling, well, that's interesting and here's how it applies to me, or that's unfortunate, but here's why it doesn't apply to me, and best of all, why is this happening, and how can I overcome it? I told you the depressing statistics in the last episode. Traditional authors might sell 3,000 books, make about $2 per sale, and rake in a whopping $6,000. Self-published authors, 250 books at about $3.50 a title for a delightful $875. And the bottom rung of happiness, 90% of self-published authors will sell about 100 copies of their book. Yuck. But hold on, Alaska. Remember Alaska? Let's change the perspective. Let's consider differences for a second. We're going to assemble an average group of 100 authors, and if we're doing average sales, that means we're averaging 250 books sold each and 25,000 books sold collectively. If 90% of authors are selling 100 copies each, that's 9,000 books of those sales. I'm going to keep repeating the phrase, do that math, because if 90% are selling 9,000 copies of the 25,000 books, that leaves 16,000 books for the other 10%. And our averages, 90% are selling 100 books each. The collective whole is selling 250 books each. But the 10% that are making up the majority of our sales, they're averaging 1,600 copies per book. I told you you had a 90% chance of selling about 100 books. And chances are good that most of that 90% would still sell far less than 100 books. It's shocking and scary and depressing. But on the other side of that, 10%, 1 out of 10, are selling an average of 1,600 copies. We're still not at a point where we're earning millions of dollars, but the odds aren't quite as bad. The doorway isn't quite so narrow. Things are a little bit brighter than we might have initially thought. So, what separates the author that sells 25 copies of a book from the author that sells 2,500? No answer is universal, but in every success story I can think of, there are one or more of three concepts involved: talent, luck, and self-motivation. And of the three, the most important one is self-motivation. Luck is the second most important. Talent, the least important. Sure, other elements come into play and swirl around and contribute. And we may have a conversation where we realize we're both talking about what maybe I categorize as luck, but we're using different words or we've broken it down into multiple pieces. Doesn't change the most important thing. Time and time again, I see folks with worse ideas and less talent becoming successful, while incredible folks are not getting the same recognition, and the realities are simple. You could be the most talented writer in the world. You develop breathtaking stories. The flow and presentation of your words is unparalleled in skill and beauty. You can connect with any reader that begins a journey with you. The fact remains, if you never try to share what you're writing and no one ever reads it, it doesn't matter how talented you are. And the facts continue. The writer that lives within 100 miles of multiple large cities and cities that have strong independent bookstore communities has a bit more luck tilted in their direction than the writer that lives in a small town hundreds of miles away from any large town or city. The writer that lives across the street from a strong literary agent or someone involved in acquisitions for one of the big five publishing houses, yeah, a bit more luck tilted in their direction than someone that doesn't. Does talent matter? Of course it does. Does luck matter? Yep, more than you might think. And there are absolutely ways to increase your luck. Time and time and time again, though, it's self-motivation, initiative, drive, writing on that day when you just didn't have the time or energy, but still found a way to get in a half hour or 300 words. Sending that extra email or five when you really wanted to watch the next episode of a favorite show. Researching to find another handful of agents that match your interests and learning about how they accept proposals when the pillow was calling out for you to turn in for the night. There isn't one piece of advice that can create success. There is no perfect approach that works for everyone. But I can tell you that the folks that are willing to put in more effort figure out a way to use mistakes and hurdles and rejection as fuel for their passion, a way to generate even more effort. Those are the writers that are going to make up the majority of the success stories. As we wrap up this episode, something has been going on that you may not have even noticed with our first six episodes. For me, I've set up the game board, so to speak. Most of the housekeeping is done now. We've opened up the doors, entered the building, and turned on a few lights. We've talked about some things and brought out a few pieces of equipment that we might be using. The work hasn't really started, but the episodes so far have all been things that initially struck me as material we needed to cover in order to get our journey going. Things now are going to get a bit more specific for you and a lot more focused for me. I was out of action for a couple months. I got sick, mostly just the cold from hell that wouldn't leave, and I barely had a voice for 8 or 9 weeks. What was supposed to be a brief pause on both of the podcasts that I'm doing right now turned into more than 3 months with no new material. And in that time, you responded with a ton of inquiries into things, questions and more, stuff you're hoping I'll dive into. And so our next two episodes are going to be bonus episodes, and they're going to come out next week. It's going to be Q&A type stuff, where I'm going to dive into the most common and interesting questions that I've received, and almost all of them came in during the time between the releases of episodes 5 and 6. That's where the specific stuff for you is going to be coming into play. From there, we're going to lock into a regular schedule. New episodes are going to be released on the first and third Friday of every month. For episode 7 of Writing and Publishing with Dumb Old Bob, we're going to begin attacking subjects with additional detail and thought. And out of the gate, an episode on traditional publishing is going to be released, which will be followed up with an episode on self-publishing, and then an episode on agents. We're going to continue from there. Thank you all very much for joining me so far. A really special round of thanks for those that have begun interacting. Until next time, get back to work. You've been listening to Writing and Publishing with Dumb Old Bob. This podcast is brought to you by Parkside Backpack Productions in partnership with In My Backpack. To learn more about me, this podcast, and my writing, visit the In My Backpack site today at inmybackpack.com. I was assisted in the development of the podcast by Justin Gillen, Jay Gillen, and Karen Chappell. Justin is a phenomenal musician, and he wrote, played, and recorded all of the music we use on our podcasts. Jay is an extremely talented artist that has been delivering great work on projects with me for quite some time. In addition to all of his designs and efforts for Dumb Old Bob, he also created the iconic logo for In My Backpack. Karen is a creative, motivated, thoughtful woman that has been delivering countless exceptional technical results and ideas for our productions and has been a driving force in bringing our podcasts to reality. And while I would love to take all of the credit, the truth is, if you are enjoying the Dumb Old Bob podcasts, the talents and contributions of these three are playing a significant role in us being able to accomplish that. I invite you to send along your questions, suggestions, and comments. We have pages on several social media sites for Dumb Old Bob, and you can also reach us by sending along an email. Thanks for stopping in for this episode, and check in with us again soon. Backpackville, we're all friends here. Until the next time, have a great day.